Yes? No? It's almost there. Oh, there it is. Where's the letter? Okay, sounds good. Okay, hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? It's good to hear. So when I got the talk from Pastor Roy about preaching again, the first thought that came into my head was, I must have done something right the first time. So I'm glad to be here. But seriously, just really honored to be up here, and just the trust that they have to let me speak. And just really an honor. And I'm just glad to share what I feel the Lord has put on my heart. So how I got this message, I realized that God is super awesome. He's really awesome. And I realized that he doesn't need a church setting to be practical in your life. And when you come to realize that all you need to do is just be intentional about searching after his heart, you start to realize that he will show up in your everyday life, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. So he told me, he said, I want you to speak about my presence. I said, okay, Lord, where do you want me to start with that? Because if any of you know God, God is very big. He's a very big God. So it's very hard to cover all of God. And you could probably preach your whole life and not scratch the surface with God. So I just asked for his direction. He said, I want you to have a childlike imagination to imagine what is possible when we are in the presence of God, moving in his presence. And before we, say, oh no, imagination, and religion has crushed imagination completely, the Lord started to speak about having an innocent imagination, like a child. And if you've ever seen a child play with a car and they think it's like a spaceship, you know, you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, that's really cute or whatever. But I see the Lord doing the same thing with us, that when we have that childlike imagination, he just kind of looks at us and he's like, aw, you know, that's cool. So if you were my neighbor or my family members from the time I was young, you will remember this. And if you want more information, you can ask them. But I used to play Spider-Man in the street. And I would be in a full Spider-Man suit. And I would walk around like this, looking for everything. So the Lord brought me back to that memory. And I really don't remember my childhood that much. But not in a bad way, I just don't have a good memory. But so he was showing me that moment, and I realized that I would imagine these things where I would be like, okay, there's a villain, and it's really easy, and I was just discovering, the Spider-Man powers, and I would beat the enemy, and then a harder one would come, and a harder one would come, and I would keep acquiring these new skills as I got experience. And I realized that that's a little bit how our walk with God is as we get experience and tools and gifts that God allows us to have, we are equipped to face different enemies and different challenges in our life that come up before us. So he was showing me that, and I was, you know, just for fun, I was like, is there any, you know, superheroes in the Bible? And you'd be very surprised. There are a lot of them. There's a lot of superheroes in the Bible. I mean, if you look at Samson, superhuman strength, Elijah commanding fire to come down amongst his enemies, and having bears come out of the woods to eat kids, doesn't sound too nice, but I find that to be a superpower. Or even if you look at the life of Jesus, I mean, all the miracles that he did, and just walking and people would touch him and they were healed. But in John 8:59, I found this one passage that I thought was cool for invisibility, if you know this applies to it. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and walked out of the temple. And if you look later on in that chapter, I don't know what chapter it is exactly, but somewhere in John later on, they find him and they go back to do the same thing, and he does the exact same thing. He hides himself and walks out from amongst them. So I think it's very possible to have this stuff. And I'm not saying to pray for superhuman abilities, but it's we have to realize the power that we have access to when we are in the presence of God, and that we can move in a lot of things that God has for us. So in Psalms 140:13, it says, surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live in your presence. Now, it's funny that David wrote that, because you know that when he was a shepherd, one of the lowliest of jobs, he was defending his sheep from bears and lions and oh my, you know, all those things. But he was in the presence, and he was training, he was equipping himself to face greater things that God had for him. So as he was going through that, it prepared him for Goliath. So the upright will live in your presence. So what happens when we carry the presence of God with us all the time? When I mean all the time, I mean in the chaos of your day or in the quiet of your alone time with God. So I'd like to take a look at Peter in Acts 5, 12 through 16, if you want to turn to that. I believe this is the NIV, so if you guys have New King James Version, it might be different. But the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Amen. So when I was reading this, the Lord started to open up to me about the part where it says, as a result, people were brought to be laid down just so they could catch Peter's shadow. And it's not Peter's shadow, it was the presence of God that was there. And in that time, the presence of God was very new, and it was very strong, and they were moving in just the presence. It was just about God. That was all they cared about. And I believe that the power of God was overflowing from Peter just being, that was the shadow that was healing people, that when they just got a glimpse of it.
I have three stories of just staying present or not staying present, but then God showed me how to stay present. The first one was I was in a car just driving, and I think this happens for a lot of people, but when you're driving, that's usually the time that I speak to God, because it gets very repetitive and I'm just driving straight and you're just like, what should I do? You know, and you're either listening to music or just praying or whatever. So I was in the car and there was a situation that happened and I was just really upset about it, and I was praying, I was saying, God, why this, why that? Why does it have to be like this? What is going on? Where are you? And I was just going, and I was just praying and praying and praying, and the Lord said to me in a whisper, but if you know God's whisper, it's a very loud yell in your head. It takes over every thought that you have, but it's very quiet. And he said to me, I have the answer for you, but you're praying over me. And I said, okay. And I just kind of sat there and I sat there in silence and I just waited. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm here. And it was in that moment where he brought this complete peace and just comfort and affirmation. And he just spoke to me and gave me the answers for all the questions that I had. See, he had them the whole time because he was in the present, but I wasn't there to receive it. The second one, and I gave this at a Tuesday night, our meeting, was I was taking an accounting test for school, and I wasn't able to make the class where they were speaking about this particular topic, and I was really confused, and they gave a test right away, and, you know, if I was a good college student, you're supposed to read ahead and all of that, but I just didn't, so next time maybe. So I was sitting here for this test. It's a 3-hour test. And I sat there with notes, and I said, I don't understand a thing on this test. And it was a 3-hour test. He said, you know, it's probably going to take you an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours. It won't take you the full 3 hours. So I'm sitting there half an hour in, and I am drawing a complete blank. I don't know anything that's going on. And I'm thinking, oh, I got a bad score on my last test. I'm going to fail this one, and then, you know, I'm going to get the best I could get if I, you know, ace everything else is a C+, and I'm just going through all these motions of just worry. And the Lord said to me in another whisper, he said, I want you to open up to Proverbs. I think it was something in the 20s. He said, I want you to open to Proverbs and just stop the test. Now this test is running. I can't stop the test, but he just says, I want you to just stop and read the word. And I was like, Lord, I don't really have that much time. He said, no, just sit down and just read the word. So I sat down and I opened up the word and the test is running and I'm, you know, like worried. And I just sat down and I read the chapter and I just spent like 2 or 3 minutes with the Lord. And probably the craziest miracle happened after that, where the Lord said, okay, now turn back to your test. And he downloaded all of the answers to me. I typed in number after number. It was a typing in numbers and accounting. It was not multiple choice. And I just started typing in and I understood everything on my notes and I started just putting in all the answers and I was looking at it and I couldn't even read the questions because I already knew what it was. And I got 100 on it in 20 minutes. Thank you. And I did get an A in that class. But it was that time where instead of worrying about it, to get with God just in the present because he was there and he had the answers. But I wasn't there to receive them until I picked it. You know, I picked up the Bible and started reading. I also said that now, these things that happen in our lives, it can become rituals if we make them. But that's what the Lord said to me after that. He said, do not make this a ritual. Just continue to hear my voice, and whatever situation, I'll give you a way out or an answer. 1 second, I just need to get water.
It would have been easier with the repel, but whatever.
So what are some practical ways to be aware that he is with us always? Because that's always the question. We find that there's times where we go to church and we're in a worship service and God seems so near, and then we go out and then there's a situation that happens that's just completely chaotic and you're like, where's God? And it's because we're being intentional when we're here, looking, we're worshiping. We're being intentional about being in church and worshiping him. But I think we're coming to a time where our life's going to be intentional about just searching after Christ, where that's all that's going to matter, is where your life is just going to amplify God, where we're going to just want to be in his presence even in the chaos. We want to carry him like he's a dove on our shoulder. We've had this example given many times by Pastor Roy and, you know, a few other people. If there's a dove on your shoulder, a literal dove on your shoulder, you would probably walk a little bit more carefully, or else it would fly away if you did anything hasty. So what the Lord showed me was that that means that we have to be aware that it's there on our shoulder and be conscious of it and move slowly, not to react to situations that happen in our life, but to take a step back and hear the voice of God in every situation. I think this also starts with starting your day off right. Pastor Maria has given countless examples of starting your day off right, creating healthy habits of just starting off your day saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Or sit in silence if you want for 5 minutes, if that helps you, and just listen for the voice of God. Or if reading the word for 5 minutes, if that works for you, whatever it is. We serve a very personal God, and it's personal for you. And I think that it starts with acknowledging God before anything else, before your day starts. And it starts your day off by just acknowledging Christ and having a plan to keep acknowledging him. Now, that's the simple part. The hard part is when there is chaos, like I said before. So how can we access him? I believe it takes a humble and hungry heart after God to not react to every situation that is thrown at you, but to take that step back and just wait for him. Now, this is not something that happens overnight. This is a training of just constantly searching after Christ, and in every situation that it might not even be that stressful, but just acknowledging, God, I want to invite you into this situation. What do you have for me? And then it keeps on growing. And as, like I said with Spider-Man, as you gain experience, it starts to amplify into more and more and more. And then you're in the most craziest, life-challenging thing that you can imagine. And God is there because you know who to go to. So I mentioned in my last message about how God reveals all things to those who are close to him, you know. So when we carry him wherever we go, we have access to this incredible insight and knowledge and revelation. And, you know, this is really what I think the next step is being able to access Christ and all that he has and all of his power that he has for us. So I want to read a few things about insight and knowledge and revelation. I'm going to kind of go rapid fire through these, but they'll be up here if you want to write them down. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'll read that again. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And Daniel 12:3, I love this scripture. It's in the NIV. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and they will lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Now this makes sense because in Isaiah 60:1-3 in the NIV, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I don't know if you get that, but those who are wise, insight, knowledge, those who are wise, those who have access to Christ, who has the overall knowledge and wisdom that we need, those who are wise will shine like the brightness. And it says that nations will come to your light. That's the brightness that it's talking about. It will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. See, I don't know about you, but I want to walk around and have that light on me all the time. I want to have that presence in me all the time that when people look at me, they're going to say, I want that. What is that? And they are so compelled to go and talk to you because they are desperate. And right now, especially with the world and all of the chaos that's going on, people are desperate to hear some kind of hope. And we can be that hope with the light that we have. But it starts with being with God, being in his presence constantly. Where every single moment, all that we want to do is be with him and nothing else. So that is all I have for you. And I realized something, this is really funny too, is that the first time I spoke, I didn't pray in the beginning. And second time, if you all want to see this, it says pray with a bunch of exclamation points, and I didn't pray. I don't know. You know what? It's okay, because whenever I think of, like, when we pray and we say amen, it kind of means, like, okay, God, you can go back. So just let's just pray that the Lord was here the whole time, and that'll be my excuse. Good? Okay. So I'll pray to close out, and then, you know, that'll be good. You like to just put your hands out, I mean, if you feel that you want to. Lord, we just come before you today and we just lay everything we have at your feet. The good, the bad, the ugly, we lay it all at your feet. We give you our agendas, we give you our worries, we give you everything, Lord, once and for all, we give it to you completely. I pray that your presence, Lord, will be just so near in our lives that we will realize that you're there. And that you're inside of us, Lord, and that we have access to you. I thank you for that access that you allow us by your blood. I just pray that you cover all of us, Lord, as we go. And I just pray that we'll be able to move in what you have for us. And that we'll join together as a church. And just tap into your glory, Lord. And just move in the presence that you have. I pray that people, Lord, will just know what is going on, and they will just want to ask what it is, Lord, and they will want to have it, and they will just go after you with all that they have. And that you'll just give us the wisdom, Lord, to direct them in whatever way you feel necessary. I just thank you for who you are, and I just thank you for everyone here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.